Good morning, everyone. My name is Gray Tettleton, and I'm a senior at Hume Fog High School. I'm sure my friends will address this topic when they get up here in a few minutes, but the big word today is transformation. Normally, this would be the place to insert the Merriam-Webster definition, but I'll spare you. In preparing for today, I began by sitting and wondering for quite a while as to how I have transformed over these past 18 years of involvement at West End. That would definitely have been the most obvious approach, although it quickly became apparent that this was a flawed direction. Analyzing my relationship with this church and my experiences with it by only looking within myself would paint an extremely incomplete picture. After all, this is a community of faith. The word transformation nearly completely defines my life up until this point, as would be true for any life. After all, that's all life is, constant change. And I've realized firsthand that these changes can be influenced by even the smallest factors. This brings up the necessity of this church in my life. I'll start with some of my early years of involvement here. As many of you know, and the rest of you have probably gathered, I've been a part of this family since birth. This community is all I've ever known, and I'm happy to say that I don't regret that. From my earliest church-related memories of signing into Sunday school with Miss Patty and Miss Jane, or getting inadvertently elbowed in the head while trying to listen in on adult conversations at the crowded Easter Sunday brunches in the gym, all I can recall are positive, supportive, transformative influence and forces in my life. There are so many different influential factors in the life of a malleable, impressionable youth that, for me at least, I could have ended up latching onto any one of them. Most of those paths would have gotten me to this point in one way or another. I would have still been an 18-year-old boy, I would still be the guy that loves to make people laugh, and I would probably still be graduating high school and moving on to college next year. While I'm confident in these claims, there is much more to me that isn't quite as integral to my being that has been imbued to me by my surroundings and associates. Some of these traits, such as a benevolent, generous heart, as well as a true appreciation for creation, which are so much a part of me, could be non-existent had my transformation not been aided by the steady hand of the West End community. So I'll stop with the me for a little while. I know that for the most part, this sermon is supposed to be about myself, but I like to think that my transformation has always been a two-way street. I may be giving myself too much credit, but I believe it's safe to say that through involvement in institutions such as the Pickett Retreat, the Bershaba Springs Retreat, the multitude of young child, OEF, and youth-related events I've participated in, the lifelong friendships with other West End families, and even just coming to church every Sunday to, as I like to call it, fellowize with everyone, I've left impressions on a lot of different people and hopefully contributed to all of their transformations in some way or another. Aside from just the members of our church, West End has allowed me to contribute to others in my community. From having taken part in volunteering events from a young age to the present, this church instilled in me a lifelong passion for helping others. Not for any sort of school credit or spiritual brownie points, but because there are people in need. Again, I hope I can claim that in some small way, I've contributed to the transformation of some of those people that I've aided personally and as a church community. Aside from these physical, emotional, and relationship-related transformations, there is one form in particular that is much more difficult for me to grasp, and it's in my own head. This would be the transformation of my perception. This may sound really general, which it is. In essence, I'm getting at is that through this, the multitude of experience I've had through West End, my opinions, my morals, and the ways that I see the world have been altered for the better. This may seem trivial at first, but any of the other forms of transformation that I've outlined all rely on my own perception, allowing for the development of relationships with others, but they are also impossible without the Christian values, principles, and methods of approaching issues that I've previously spoken to. In a nutshell, participation at West End, more than any other aspect of my life, has prepared me to assess any situation with a virtuous mind, allowing for optimal outcomes and helping me to transform into my best self and helping me to help others become their best selves as well. Transformation. I've said at least a variation of this word 14 times up to this point. This is for a reason. Transformation is what life is. I'll say it again. Whether you are young or old, whether you are struggling or happy as a clam, whether you regularly attend religious services or not, life for all of us is just a dynamic set of changes. Some are small and some are large, but all are significant. We are transforming into ourselves right this moment. For me and for all of us, I'm sure, becoming myself has been a seemingly long and definitely arduous process. But all along the way, the Weston family has been there to transform me and for me to transform back. Thanks for letting me transform all of you for the past 18 years. It was a blast.
Hello. If you don't know me, my name is Lindsay Ballinger, and I am currently a senior at Hillsborough High School. At Hillsborough, I am a part of what is called the International Baccalaureate Program, meaning that I am required to take a certain selection of classes. One such class is called the Theory of Knowledge, and the easiest way to explain this class is to say that it is a discussion-based course in which my classmates and I examine the relationship between areas of knowledge, such as the natural sciences and the arts, and ways of knowing, such as intuition and imagination. In our most recent unit, our focus was on religious knowledge systems and faith. After a few weeks of considering such questions as, to what extent is religion a philosophy, one of my fellow students set up what she called a religion roundtable. Representatives from Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, and Islam were invited, and each had the time to speak on a range of questions that my classmates and I came up with together. There were many informative and fascinating parts of this discussion, but the part that stuck out to me was the response that each had to the question, how does your religion face the issue of doubt? I was unsure of what to expect as an answer, but what I heard was such a comfort to me. Each religious leader agreed that doubt is something that is normal and that leads to a deeper understanding of one's own religion. As the Hindu leader summed up so well, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Rather, faith is meaningless without some form of doubt and inquiry. However, never facing these doubts will lead to nothing. Personally, I have always been somewhat afraid of discussing my doubt in different parts of the Bible. Until this unit in my Theory of Knowledge course, I had always thought that doubt was this taboo idea in religion that should never be addressed. To be doubtful was to be unfaithful. Now that I knew that this was not the case, I began to wonder how exactly my doubt fits into my Christianity. Thinking in terms of this idea, as opposed to refusing to acknowledge any doubts that I had, has truly transformed my faith. When I went to Sean, our youth minister, to discuss what I wanted to talk about for my senior sermon, he led me to Mark 9, in which a man has brought his son to Jesus to have him rid of a spirit after Jesus' disciples were unable to do it themselves. If you don't mind, I'll read a small excerpt from this passage, and I apologize in advance because this passage is very dramatic and I'm not really a theatrical person, but please just use your imaginations. They brought the boy to Jesus. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are unable to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a large crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." This passage was meaningful to me in tying together the ideas of doubt and transformation. Firstly, when the father yelled out, "I believe, help my unbelief," it addressed that one can doubt something that they believe in without their belief meaning anything less than it would had there been no doubt at all. Secondly, the healing of the boy after his father proclaimed his belief and doubt exemplifies the idea that doubt and faith bring forth transformation. I have seen this both in my own life with my feeling more comfortable with my own faith after admitting to my doubts, and in the story of Mark 9. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Maggie Johnson, and I'm a senior at Harpeth Hall. By now, you've heard two sermons about transformation and what it is. It seems as though I might have nothing to talk about. However, if you know me at all, you know that I would never run out of things to say. So, this morning I want to focus on the idea that transformation is not the abstract idea of a singular moment of change for one specific person at any given time. People can transform together. I'm going to take that statement one step further and say that people can seriously transform each other too. While thinking about transformation, I was looking back at myself as a 12-year-old entering youth group. Not only was I entering the youth group, but I was at the peak of my tween phase. About to start a new school, and in a Sunday school class with all of the grades mixed together, I was the epitome of discomfort. I knew a few of the older youth from Wednesday Night Children's Choir, but I was nowhere near cool enough to hang out with high schoolers. Fortunately, they put up with my uncomfortable small talk for a couple of years before I was old enough to go on my first senior high mission trip. As a rising freshman, I felt comfortable enough with some of the older youth to embark on a journey of transformation in the far-off land of Sylvania, Alabama. The week consisted of working at a food pantry / Goodwill / construction site, all thrown together after the tornadoes devastated many parts of Alabama in the spring. We stayed in an old two-room church where everyone slept on the floor of the sanctuary, separated by a single row of pews. It was during this week that the older youth coined the term typical freshman, referring to me any time I would say or do something stupid. As many times that I was called typical freshman, I never felt like the older youth were trying to hurt my feelings. They brought me into their much cooler circle of maturity and made me feel really welcome. For the next 3 years, I had a part of this group with me in Sunday school. When the last ones graduated and went to college, I, the typical freshman, was a rising senior and wondering how I had gotten there so fast. Looking back at the time I spent with those older youth, I can see how much I have changed since I first entered the youth group. Some of the changes might be a result of growing up, but I don't think I would be the same if I hadn't had those 3 years with the older kids leading me and continuing to call me a typical freshman. As a group, we transformed together through our time at church. Nashville Food Project and mission trips also helped this process. We didn't have to be worshiping to be transforming either. The most memorable moments are when we are all together singing bad music or playing frisbee. Now that I've talked about a bunch of now college students and how they've transformed me throughout high school, I want to focus on the transformation that is going on with the current youth. Since the older kids left, the other seniors and I have stepped up to the role of leaders among the other youth members. I was wary of this position because I was afraid that I wouldn't connect with those younger than me as well as the older youth did when I was an uncomfortable freshman. However, I have found that it is easier to connect with them since I was in their shoes what feels like yesterday. Transformation doesn't always happen over a long period of time. Sometimes a short experience can transform you in just a few days. For spring break this year, I went to the Dominican Republic with a school group. For a week, we worked on houses, played with kids after school, and volunteered in a women's co-op. It sounds cliche to say that I came away from the trip feeling as if the people there had helped me more than I had helped them, but the 4 days I spent in the community of Cielo were extremely transformative. One afternoon, while playing with the children and struggling through conversations with the little Spanish I sort of know, I started to feel as if there was no language barrier between us and the kids. It was just a fun afternoon of playing horsies and braiding each other's hair. When reflecting on the week, I have to remind myself that the people I interacted with while on this trip couldn't be more different than I am. They have little money, few possessions, and most of their clothes are ill-fitting hand-me-downs. However, the people in Cielo are some of the happiest people I've ever encountered. While at church on Wednesday night of the trip, I saw the entire community come together and sing some of our favorite Sunday school songs in Spanish. For many of these people, their faith is what drives them. I thought about this after my trip and asked myself whether or not I should take on the mindset of the Dominicans for a while. I challenge everyone this morning to consider the same question. Rather than let our social life, work, or school drive us, let's see what it would look like if our faith drove us for a while. I have seen God do so much good in this youth group and in the Cielo community. There is no reason for us to try and override that with an abundance of material things. Think about what transformations you might have undergone and think about how God might have been a part of that. Now, think of how you might be able to go out and be a part of someone else's transformation. Amen.